Hello and welcome to the Clinical Oncology Podcast. Today we will be speaking with Professor Ananya Chowdhury and Professor Robert Huddart, who were both guest editors of an excellent special issue published last year in Clinical Oncology, MRI and Radiotherapy. Professor Chowdhury is Professor in Clinical Oncology at the Christie and University of Manchester. And Professor Huddart leads the Clinical Academic Radiotherapy team at the Institute of Cancer Research and the Royal Marsden. We discussed their special issue in this episode of the podcast. So Ananya and Robert, thank you so much for joining us. I wanted to start off by asking you just about how MRI radiotherapy differs from conventional radiotherapy.
So shall I take this one, Robert, to start off with? I think the important thing here is that the radiotherapy is the same from the radiotherapy that we use every day. It's photon radiotherapy. The linear accelerator is a fairly standard linear accelerator, and therefore we would hope that you could do everything that you do with a normal radiotherapy machine on a radiotherapy machine with MR guidance. The difference is the MR. So conventionally we use cone beam CT for verification and image guidance. On these new wave of machines, we will be able to use MR images to guide our radiotherapy. And in the same way that using MR diagnostically can make a real difference compared to CT, we're hoping that using MR to guide radiotherapy is going to be a step change as well.
Thank you very much for that. And that leads on to us trying to understand what the real benefits are. So what do you feel are the real added benefits of this type of technique?
There's a number of potential benefits from the MR radiotherapy. Firstly, as Ania's highlighted, is the image quality that you get from using MR compared to CT. And there's quite good data already developed that the visibility of at a number of sites, particularly in the pelvis and the upper abdomen, is much, much improved compared to CT and specifically cone beam CT scans. So firstly is the image quality. The second advantage is that as it's an MR image, that's the image can be taken throughout the radiotherapy fraction. So with a conventional cone beam CT scan, you can take an image at the beginning, take it to the end or potentially in the middle, but you can't actually take it on while the machine's actually treating. So there's a potential to image and watch what you're doing directly for the first real time with any machinery. Thirdly, there's no extra radiation dose for in terms of the additional imaging. Cone beam CT scan, if you image every day, can provide a significant extra dose of radiation over to what's planned. And then finally, the machines are designed, the ones that are on the market, with the capability to re-optimize the plans on a daily basis. So that means that you can give an optimal plan of the day and adjust any change in the shape, volume, or position of the tumor on a daily basis.
Those all sound like really, really big benefits. Ananya, is there anything you wanted to add to that?
And I guess the really exciting thing for some of us is hopefully we can do all that pretty early on in the evolution of these machines. But the potential for the future is using MR as part of biological imaging and maybe actually being able to see changes in the biology of a tumor during treatment or certainly during the course of radiotherapy. And I think if we can do that, then that opens up a whole box of delights that we can use to, make our radiotherapy better in the future.
So the results of all those benefits is that you can be much more certain about what you're delivering, so that you can actually be much more precise, you can reduce the margins, you can do tighter treatments, potentially deliver treatments in a smaller number of fractions. And as Ania highlighted, you could potentially adjust your treatment according to the functional nature of the patient, perhaps related to diffusion weighting or other MR signal characteristic.
And are there any limitations of the current technology? You already talked about maybe bringing in functional imaging, Ananya. Are there any limitations to MRI radiotherapy as a whole right now that you think might be addressed in future?
I think some of our authors have outlined the challenges of MR radiotherapy particularly well. But as you'd expect from any technology at the start of its evolution, MR radiotherapy at present does have limitations. For the 1.5 Tesla MR machine, which both the Marsden and the Christie have, the main limitation is field size. So there is a limited field size that can be used at present, and there are lots of very clever colleagues who are looking at seeing how we can deliver radiotherapy in different ways to extend that field size. The treatment time, because the plan has to be adapted every day, it means that the patient treatment slots have to be much longer. And certainly at the moment, centres are using treatment slots of up to an hour from patient in to patient out, so that we can only treat maybe 8 patients in a day. And that clearly isn't a feasible way of running any of our patient services. Robert, do you have anything that you feel is a major limitation at present?
I think you've highlighted the main ones. Obviously, there is also some patients who can't have MR radiotherapy.
Yeah, absolutely.
Patients with MR, claustrophobia, for instance. And one of the impacts of the MR radiotherapy potentially changes in how we do things, particularly that at the moment, to use the full capability of the adaption requires a physician input into planning and designing the treatment on a daily basis. And that's going to be a challenge being able to deliver that when we have consultants who have got pretty full job plans already. And we'll need to think innovatively how we deliver that to treatment going forward. I should add that the actual development of MR Linac is a huge engineering task, and it's a real success that the companies who have developed machines have been able to do so. Because MR and radiotherapy are not natural bedfellows, there's potential interactions between magnetism affecting the beam, electrons, and the actual MR Linac affecting the linear accelerator. So they're not necessarily natural bedfellows, but actually the fact we have functional machines is a real success story for engineering.
It's a remarkable piece of engineering, Faith. It really is. If you see it in action, especially with the covers off, when we first saw the prototype, it really was impressive.
Wow. And I guess that kind of remarkable engineering comes with a cost financially. And you outlined very well in your editorial about the issue of cost effectiveness around any kind of new technology, and this fits into that. So what are your thoughts on this?
I think, as you can appreciate, the market value for the actual machine is above what you'd pay for a standard linear accelerator. I don't know exactly the commercial cost, but it's probably in the order of 2 or 3 times the standard radiotherapy machine. And as Anya highlighted, the throughput on the machine is less than you would anticipate. That means that treatments for a patient are going to be expensive. It probably also means that not every patient having radiotherapy by any means is going to be able to have MR-guided radiotherapy. So we'll need to look at where do we actually really add value in terms of patient outcomes, and actually proving that the extra cost that you'll engender, which may be similar to the sort of price you'd expect from, say, a stereotactic treatment, how do we prove that that's value for money for the NHS and purchasers of radiotherapy?
Building a business case for this at your respective centres, what kind of things have you factored in? Is it more that it's the research side of things, or do you feel that there are going to be benefits on the clinical level?
Well, we've certainly set up our machine at the Royal Marsden very much on the basis that we're in the research arena to investigate those issues regarding patient benefit, cost effectiveness, and the whole of the consortium developing the Unity machine for Elekta are very much along the same mindset as an important part of the whole process. Going forward, we need to be able to build a business case based on service delivery, and for that we need the efficacy data, which is part of what our remit is at the moment, is to get that information. Clearly, there is some early data in pancreatic tumour using the ViewRay Meridium device, suggesting quite significant improvement in outcome, at least in comparison between an MR-Linac-delivered treatment and a retrospective series of patients, or on the basis of the dose that can be delivered, suggesting that there are potential areas where there could be big clinical benefits, not just in terms of reducing toxicity, but also in terms of patient outcome.
The only thing I'd add to that is that when we've been writing grants to try and get the funding in for doing the research, especially for clinical protocols, it is definitely a challenge covering the cost of treating a patient on this sort of advanced technology with trying to bring the funding bodies on board for them to see the merits of spending those sort of sums of money on research. So I think it is going to be important for all of us to be able to justify outside of the research what the benefits are to patients. And I think that's what we're trying to do. And what we're trying to do is not let technology come in the way it has done with protons and be accepted without there being a reasonable evidence base for it.
Yeah, that sounds really important. And you mentioned within the special issue about the possibility of single fraction curative radiotherapy. Clearly there's some health economic benefits to that, and it may have a role in prostate cancer and other cancers too. So in your views, how achievable is this?
My brachytherapy colleagues were telling me they're already there, and I'm trying to reinvent the wheel. So there are a number of protocols giving single fractions of high-dose rate brachytherapy for intermediate-risk prostate cancer, and I am aware that the National UK Brachytherapy Group has analysed their data and has put the abstract into ESTRO. So we will soon have UK outcomes for the UK protocol. But what we know is that not all patients are suitable for brachytherapy, and brachytherapy isn't as widely available as maybe it should be. So we think that there's certainly a case for investigating whether single fraction external beam radiotherapy is feasible and deliverable. And we think it's a relevant research question. So you can do it. There's no doubt at all that you can give a single fraction of radiotherapy. In fact, some people have already done it using conventional linear accelerators without MR guidance. What we would like to see is whether by using MR guidance you can do it more accurately, because the most important thing when you're giving a single fraction is accuracy. You can make up for inaccuracies over 20 fractions. You can't do that when you've only got one shot at it. I think it's feasible. We'd like to do it. We need to get the study funded.
I think the old question of MR guidance, and we've reflected this in our special issue in having two chapters on the role of MR radiotherapy in connection with brachytherapy and cervical cancer, shows that if you improve accuracy and knowing what you're doing, then you can have big impacts in patient outcomes. And I think we're interested in the idea of delivering treatment in a small number of fractions because of the problems that we highlighted about the time it takes to treat a patient, the cost effectiveness. And it certainly makes the case for cost effectiveness much better for if you can deliver treatment to a small number of treatments. It increases the number of patients who can benefit from the treatment, and obviously patients like having coming less often for their radiotherapy. So if we can deliver that to a large number of patients, that's all the better.
I understand that there are two main technologies that allow the MRI and radiotherapy to come together in this way. Are there any significant differences between the two machines?
There are differences between the two machines, apart from the fact that they're made by two different commercial entities. The main difference is in the strength of the magnet that's built into the machine. The Elekta Unity has a 1.5 Tesla magnet, and the ViewRay Meridian has a 0.3 Tesla magnet. So the strength of the magnet is different. This means that the technology sort of works in a slightly different way, and that the image quality is different. The higher the magnetic strength, the more defined the images can be, but also the more susceptible they are to noise. And when we're designing sequences for MR guidance or for MR and radiotherapy, that's the balance that we're trying to achieve, mostly. So the two machines are slightly different, but broadly speaking, for image-guided radiotherapy, they should be able to investigate the same sort of questions and hopefully have similar advantages.
I just wanted to ask, actually, where you see things going with MRI radiotherapy, because currently it's only in a select number of centres. Do you think in the future that every centre might have one of these, or do you think it's going to be something that's going to be a lot more, much more specialist?
My gut feeling is that we're going to show that there's going to be some sites where there is distinct advantages to using MR guidance, and there's therefore going to be an expansion of the number of machines. There's been certainly an explosion in the number of machines that have been purchased throughout the world, both the ViewRay and the Elekta Unity machines. I think that the reorganization of the planned reorganization of networks, and I suspect within 5 or 10 years, each of those networks will have an MR Linac machine, because there will be certain tumors where delivering effective treatment will require it. And I think most likely that will be in the upper GI for pancreas and hepatobiliary tumors. But I'm hopeful that also would benefit in other sites as well. Whether that will be in every single radiotherapy center, I suspect not. But I suspect each of those networks will feel the need to have a machine.
I guess I have a slightly different take on this, Safe, compared to Robert. Talking to colleagues who were around when cone beam CT guidance first came in, many of them thought it was going to be a bit of a flash in the pan and that we would still carry on treating the majority of patients with cobalt. Now cobalt is obsolete in the UK, and we all have CT guidance. I suspect in 20 years' time, departments may have a majority of MR Linacs. I don't think CT-guided radiotherapy will be obsolete, because not everybody is suitable for MR, as Robert discussed. But I think that hopefully within my lifetime, technology will continue to improve, and we'll see where we are in 20 years' time.
First time I've been told I've been too cautious in my predictions, but I don't necessarily disagree. Where I think we might see quite radical changes over the career of consultants starting out now is actually how we deliver radiotherapy. And I think the potential for many sites that the real-time optimization of treatment will come into regular practice. And I think there's many sites, particularly pelvis, where actually doing that reoptimization, I think, will deliver real benefits. My favorite topic is bladder cancer, and I can see huge potential benefits for patients having bladder radiotherapy in that area. Also potentially prostate, and also where volumes change differently. So if you're treating a prostate and pelvic lymph nodes, where the prostate may move in one direction and the nodes in the opposite direction, reoptimizing your treatment could deliver you real benefits in terms of improving target coverage and reducing your margins and toxicity.
Okay, thank you. Thank you very much for that. And I wanted to ask you both, as editing this special issue, which really is excellent, and it covers so many different aspects of MRI radiotherapy. What did you both learn personally? What articles did you find particularly insightful?
Gosh, where do I start? I guess it was a real pleasure to connect with colleagues in other parts of the world and other groups who I didn't actually know before, and get their input into the special issue and their insights into what they thought about MR-guided radiotherapy. And the other thing I learned as part of the special issue was actually already how much work is going on MR in radiotherapy and how much already is used within our daily practice. That was a bit of an eye-opener for me.
I think what we tried to do in the special issue is to try and reflect the whole pathway from the looking at the problems, looking at the potential solutions, how you may deliver it, in particular, how can we move to an MR-only workflow. And I think the insights of that have been really valuable in terms of understanding, in terms of developing the machine that we've been working with. I found particularly insightful was the work from the sites that have been using MR-Linac for the longest, in the article on the experiences from one of the first V-Ray Meridian sites in the States, and actually what their experiences were, where they found the technology valuable. And also the advantages that MR have given to patients in cervical cancer with brachytherapy, which is an area I know a little bit, but not a lot about.
Thank you very much for that.
I think what we're hopefully reflecting in the issue, that the era of MR-guided radiotherapy has started, and we're not quite sure where it's going to go, but we think it's going to be an exciting journey and may well make a big difference to how we do things in the future. And we hope that we've reflected that within the special issue that we produced. And there's some very intriguing potential benefits and directions in some of the chapters in our lead editorial and in the chapter run by that's the first author's Arabella Hunt, which I hope will give some the readers an insight into why we're excited about MR-guided treatment.
Yes, I have to admit, with my biology hat on, I thought the overview of delivering the biological imaging on the MR-Linac is particularly compelling. And again, as somebody who doesn't treat gynae cancer, but actually feels that MR-Linac could come into its own if we can resolve some of the challenges in treating cervical cancer, I thought the papers on brachytherapy and how we use MR already to guide treatment there and plan treatment there, and also the overview of MR for cervical cancer were particularly interesting.
Well, Robert and Ananya, thank you so much for taking the time to speak to me today. It's really very much appreciated.
Absolute pleasure. Thank you ever so much, Safe.